ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Thank you very much. In the ninth chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. That if one offers even a leaf, a flower, a piece of fruit or water with sincere devotion, I will accept it. The path of bhakti is the awakening of the dormant love that is within our heart. Lord Chaitanya, he spoke, Nitya Siddha Krishna Premas Sajakabunoi Sravanadi Siddhichiti Koriye Udoi. That love for Krishna and natural compassion and love for every living being who is part of Krishna is dormant within the heart of everyone. Wherever there is life, consciousness, that is the very essence of life. But it has been forgotten. We have been distracted since time immemorial, constantly bombarded with weapons of mass distraction. But by chanting God's name, by associating with holy people, it's naturally revived. And in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining how this perfection of life is for everyone. There is no material qualification or disqualification. Only the sincere devotion of our heart is required. This is a universal principle. In the Bible, we read about a lady who was something like a prostitute, who was rejected by society. She came to make an offering to Jesus, and he accepted it, even though he was criticized and others were criticizing, because it was sincere devotion. In the Ramayana, there's a beautiful example of this. In fact, there are thousands of millions of examples of this. When Ram and Lakshman were searching for Sita in the forest, they came to Pampa Sarovar. The place is still there. It's actually not far from where many of you are going. It's near Kishkindha Kshetra. And there, living in a cave, sometimes she was in a little hut made out of leaves, was an old lady named Shabari. Shabari, from a social position, had no caste. She was just born in the jungles. And she had a guru named Matanga Rishi. And Matanga Rishi trained her in the process of bhakti. But then he and his disciples returned to the spiritual world. But he told her, you are not ready yet. You have to stay here. But someday, the avatar of the Supreme Lord, Ram, will come here searching for his wife. At that time, if you give your heart to him, by his grace, you will attain the ultimate perfection and join us. She had no money. She had zero education academically, but she was so enthusiastic, waiting for Ram. Her guru told while you're waiting, you could always be connected to him by chanting his name. Year after year passed, and she had faith that Ram's coming. She chanted, she waited, she performed very serious austerities. She was living alone, and then Ram and Lakshman came. And Shabari was so grateful. She had developed so much love for him, such a desire to serve him. When a special guest comes to your home, you want to give him the best you have. And when Ram comes to your home, you really want to give him the best you have. But she had nothing. She was dressed in tree bark. She lived in a cave. She had no money. She had no possessions. But there were some wild fruits that were growing. They're actually berries, little berries. And that was the only thing that was growing around there. But the thing about these berries is if they're ripe or unripe, they look exactly the same. If they're unripe, they're terribly bitter. And if they're ripe, they're very sweet. So she collected a bowl full of these fruits. And she didn't want to give Ram a bitter one. So Ram was sitting, and she was sitting in front of him, and she would take one of those little fruits and bite a piece of it. Like that. And if it was bitter, she put it aside for herself to take later, because she didn't want to waste anything. And if it was sweet, she took it out of her mouth and handed it to Ram. And Ram very graciously ate it. And it tasted like nectar. Now, according to procedures of worship, you're not supposed to do like that. You're supposed to eat it after the Lord eats. She was so simple. But because she was so sincere, Ram tasted in those little fruits something greater than the most magnificent, luxurious feasts. Because Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, he accepts the devotion. And he said, Shabari, on this day, you will come with me to the spiritual world. And she attained the perfection of liberation, mukti, samadhi, in the highest level of going back to the Lord's abode by simply offering him these little fruits that were just... The name of this fruit is the kapita fruit. And generally, the only people that eat them are monkeys. Really, I used to watch. People don't even pick them. It's just monkey food. She was giving Ram monkey food. But on that very day, Ram met a monkey. It was there, in that very place, just after Shabari, at Pampa Sarovar, that Hanuman came to meet him. And that's a beautiful story of Hanumanji. But one of the beautiful parts of Hanuman's Leela is when he and his associates were building a bridge across the Indian Ocean. By chanting the name of Ram, they had the power to make anything they put on the ocean float. Because there was none of these big construction companies with the cranes and all that stuff. Luckily, they didn't need that. They could just put the name of Ram on a big rock and put it down and it would float. And in those days, the distance was 800 miles. And they had to bring large armies of people across to try to get Sita. So this bridge was going to be 100 miles wide and 800 long. And Hanuman was the main builder. He was literally ripping peaks off of mountains, which were miles in size, and carrying them and putting him in the ocean, and it floated. And as he was holding this massive, massive rock on the path to get to the place he was going to put it, there was a tiny little spider. Not some sort of a yogi spider, just a regular spider. And the spider, you've all seen spider legs. They're not very muscular or anything. He was just, with all of his might, just kicking single grains of sand to assist in building the bridge. And Hanuman was looking at this little spider under him, blocking his way, when he was carrying something miles in size. And Ram was right behind Hanuman. And Ram told the world through Hanuman, please note, Hanumanji, this spider is doing exactly the same service as you are. And as far as I'm concerned, he's doing as much as you are. Because the spider is, according to his little capacity, she may have been a girl too, her capacity. According to her little capacity, she's doing the best she can. And you, according to your capacity, are doing the best you can. And I accept the devotion. So you are equal to me. He's contributing as much to building this bridge as you. Bhavagrahi Janardana. The Lord sees our intent. Another example is in Mahabharata, where Duryodhana invited Krishna to his palace to be honored, worshipped, and fed in incredible feast. Duryodhana was the reigning king, and he was very envious. He actually usurped the king from Arjuna and Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. And the reason he wanted Krishna to come, he wanted Krishna's favor so that Krishna didn't get in his way of further exploiting the Pandavas. So he was going to worship Krishna, honor Krishna. He had beautiful crowns and precious jewels and magnificent food just to bribe Krishna so that Krishna would let him do his thing. And he was waiting with all of his ministers, queen. And Krishna went right to his house, looked at it, and walked away. But it was lunchtime. So Krishna, without even announcing he was coming, he went to Vidura's house, who was living in a very simple little place. And his wife was there, Vidura. And they didn't know he was coming. They had no food in the house. That's how simple they lived. Somehow or other, she ran and got a banana. That's all she could get. Because Krishna was hungry immediately. And she was so nervous, it is said, that she peeled the banana and threw the banana away and gave Krishna the peel. Krishna ate the peel and was totally satisfied. More than those luxurious hundreds of preparations on silver and golden plates that Duryodhana had prepared for him. Because it was offered with devotion. And the example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you water the root of a tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. If we please, some siddhira haditoshan, if we please the Lord by our sincerity, then we become completely satisfied. Our very souls, our hearts, our minds become satisfied. Real fulfillment. In giving, we receive the most. And knowing that every living being is a child of Krishna, to serve the body, minds, and especially the souls, the atmas of other living beings is the greatest way of finding the true inner fulfillment of pleasing the Supreme Lord. That is bhakti. So today's festival, many of you were here this morning where there were some hundreds of people plucking flowers. Why do we pluck the flowers? Why don't we just throw the flowers? The idea is a meditation on qualitatively, in this case it's a little quantitative too, giving pleasure. And devotion is oftentimes very much in the detail, the refined detail of our consciousness. Because the whirl of the flower is kind of hard. And sometimes when people throw a flower on you, I don't know, it happens to me sometimes. But the petals never hurt. They're very, very sweet and they just come on you. So I don't know how many tons of flowers they had. Does anyone know? Any of our managers? Huh? 1,000 kgs? So that means 1 ton, a little over 2,000 pounds, yes? Of flowers. And they got flowers from so many different places in India. They had them shipped in from South India, from North India, from Vrindavan, beautiful roses from Vrindavan, some from our farm, and organic flowers. Try to get the best flowers. And everyone was in circles plucking. There are wealthy, powerful, industrialists, politicians, engineers, PhD professor scholars, simple monks, farmers, people who just, you know, live very, you know, simple lives of labor. And when you're sitting, nobody could understand any hierarchy, because we're all in circles around the flowers, plucking, pluck, 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 pluck. And it's not a matter of the speed in which we pluck. When we take our individual plucked petals and put them in the basket, they all become a combined offering of devotion. When we start the abhishek or the bathing ceremony, you're not going to recognize which petal you plucked. But what you will feel, hopefully, is every single petal we plucked. And that's the beauty of community. When it's not about me and you, it's about we. It's not about who's high and who's low. It's about serving God. And God doesn't see high, low. He sees sincerity. This festival we've been doing for many years. It started by accident, but now it's become a very holy tradition. And the idea is celebrating the combined efforts of the whole community in offering our affection, our love, our devotion to the Lord and to each other. And at the end of the flower bathing ceremony of Radha Gopinath, all the flowers become prasad, the grace of the Lord. And by their kindness, through all these windows you see, all the ton of flowers is going to fall on your head. And you're going to be glad you plucked them when they start falling. So thank you so very, very much. And the beautiful thing about a flower festival is there's red flowers and yellow flowers and green flowers and white flowers and orange flowers. There's purple flowers. They have different shapes, different fragrances. And when they're all together, the variety creates more beauty. The different religions of the world, the different races of the world, the different levels of occupational tendencies of people in this world, all these varieties that people have been fighting about, arrogant about, envious about, having wars about, hating about, these same varieties are actually created to create a very, very special beauty within the world and within life, if we just see it in relation to Krishna or to God. A garland, when there's a string, all the different color and shapes of flowers become beautiful. So this festival is also a festival of hope, a festival of prayer. Achintya Bheda Bheda Patatva. Unity in diversity. In this world we have black people and white people and yellow people and brown people and some kinds of people I don't even know about. And we have so many religions, and we have so many races, and so many nationalities, and so many occupational, economic categories. But when we can appreciate, together we're a beautiful offering, there could be real love. And that's what this festival represents. Thank you very much. Now we will begin. And Gaurvani Prabhu, would you like to lead the first?